بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'm so happy to have you here tonight, inshallah ta'ala. Listening in with me, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in your life. You're here because you want something for your life. You need something for your life. And inshallah ta'ala, you'll find something here that will quench your thirst, or at least appetize it, and or whet your thirst, and inshallah ta'ala, it'll lead to something much greater, and hopefully, bi-ibnillah, this will be a moment of turning of the pages in your life, like a new page, as they say. All right, so let's begin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once took Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a young man, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to him, held him by his shoulders, and he gave him this advice. This advice that is actually very popular, many people know it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib aw abiru sabil." He said, be in this dunya, be in this dunya, act as if you are a stranger or a traveler. Now, what does it mean to act like a stranger, act like a traveler? Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to his students later on, when he would explain the advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to him, he said, "Idha asbahta fala tanfadir al-masa' wa idha amsayta fala tanfadir al-sabah." He says, if you find yourself in the morning, then don't have so much expectation that the night is going to come. In other words, seize the moment and don't look so far away. Seize the moment. And that's what a traveler does. They seize the moment. وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. And if you find yourself in the evening, then don't wait for the morning. Meaning that do whatever you need to do in the evening. Don't expect that tomorrow is going to come. وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ. And take from your health in preparation for the time when you will get sick. In other words, seize your health before you get sick, وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And seize your moments of life before you die. Dear brothers and sisters, I've experienced this excuse, what I call the granddaddy of excuses, so many times, and I want to give you an analogy for it. This granddaddy of all excuses is, I don't have time. I just don't have time. A person sees something of benefit, an event, a program, something for their personal life, whatever it is, and then they turn their back on it and they say, I just don't have enough time for this. What this reminds me of is an analogy of a person who's standing waiting for a train. The train comes and the train promises to go to some amazing destinations and see amazing and beautiful things, things the person has never seen before, things that the person has never heard before, and experience things that the person has never experienced before. Yet the person stands on the platform and they hesitate, should they join this train or should they not? And so they turn their back with the excuse. This turning of their back is excuses. And they make excuses such as this granddaddy of excuses, I just don't have enough time. Well, the train's going to close. The train is indifferent to this. The train closes its doors and it leaves. This person is left at the platform. They don't know what they've experienced, what they've missed out in experiences. The train has left and gone to beautiful places. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the example of our lives. And this is what excuses do to us. We're standing at the platform and life is beckoning us to join the train and go with it. Yet we make this excuse of, I just don't have enough time, and life goes away. Interesting how it is. How a person spends their time focused on the dunya, even though the akhirah is calling them and it's coming closer. So we focus on that which is leaving us, the dunya, and we disregard that which is coming closer every moment, every heartbeat. Just as you're listening to this right here, right now, with every heartbeat, you're coming one step closer to resurrection. And yet we concern ourselves with the things like, if somebody realizes this, how can they waste their time with TV? How can they waste their time with useless emails? How can they waste their time letting life slip away? How can they waste their time? Because indeed, dear brothers and sisters, that time is us. There's no such thing as killing time. Time is us. So when a person says, I'm killing time, or what am I going to do? I'm bored. In fact, what they're doing is they're killing themselves. I'm doing this program tonight, inshallah ta'ala, so that I and you, all of us, we can start to get serious about this issue of time. Because if you want to be a leader, and this is what I wish for you, you have to master your time. There's no such thing as a Muslim leader who has problems with their time. You can't achieve amazing things until you first mastered the art of your time. And alhamdulillah, we've recently released this time traveler series, the videos. And so this corresponds with that, inshallah ta'ala. If you're looking to take it to the next level, if you want to commit to go to the next level, that's available for you, inshallah. Very often I get this question, Brother Muhammad, how are you able to manage so many things? And you know, when you look at it, I have my ibadah, my family, my health, my travels, Al Maghrib Institute, Discover You. And when somebody makes a statement, I know you must be busy, Brother Muhammad. Actually, I'm not busy at all. At all, I'm not busy. And the reason that I'm not busy is that I choose how I spend my time. I choose everything in my life. One of the most precious things to me is my time. So I have all the time in the world for those things that I care about. How am I able to manage all of these things? It is some practical tips on how to do it and some systems on how to do it that flattens out everything that you have on your plate so that it can be achieved just like that. Just like that, it can be achieved. And inshallah ta'ala, you just have to go through the process, and I'll be explaining inshallah ta'ala some of that tonight, bi-idhnillah. All right. Usually in the beginning of these lectures, people kind of like tune in and then something distracts them and then they go away. So I'd like to, bi-idhnillah, I'd like to start off these lectures with some quick tips. Some quick tips. So even if you don't make it to the end of the lecture, inshallah ta'ala, you will get some amazing benefit right from the very beginning, bi-idhnillah. All right. So the first tip that I would give you is that you need to aim higher. That's tip number one, that you need to aim higher. When a person aims, right, they could aim to pass, they could aim to be excellent, or they can aim to be outstanding, get 110%. If you ask yourself this morning when you woke up, what was your goal for the day, or how great did you want to act and be this day? Chances are, because I know this is normal case, that you made no intention in the morning. It was most likely same old, same old. Either you're going to school or you're going to work or you're in the house doing some chores and so on, but you never really made an intention. And everything starts with intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And so if you want to achieve something great, you've got to make the intention for it. Imagine waking up every day saying, I intend to make this the best day of my life. I intend to make this day 10% better than it was yesterday, or 5%, or 2%. But you've made a conscious effort to become stronger this day and not just do the same old of what took place yesterday. So that's technique number one. Tip number one is you need to aim higher. Tip number two is that you need to get things off of your mind immediately. There was Niagara Falls, right? Niagara Falls has some real estate very close to the falls. And I was thinking about this real estate once. I said to myself, I wonder if I had this real estate, what would I build on it? Would I build a hotel, or would I build a shoe store? Or would I build, you know, like, you know as well as I do that if you had real estate like that, you would build the most profitable business in that because it's prime real estate. Now, I want you to think of your mind. What are you building on your mind? What sort of information comes into your mind every day? Is it junk information or is it high quality information? Are you reading books or are you reading Twitter messages, right? Are you reading like things that you can grow with, or what is being built? What are your thoughts? So if somebody says to me, for example, oh, I can memorize people's phone numbers, I would say, what a waste of your mind. Why would you need to memorize phone numbers? You just put it on your phone. Take everything off your mind and only leave room for the best of thoughts. Your creativity, your, you know, solutions, you're trying to figure things out, you're trying to build things, you're trying to lead people and so on and so forth. That's what you want to be building on your mind, inshallah ta'ala. So tip number two is get things off of your mind immediately. The suggestions on how to do it, how I would specifically do it, is put like a pad of paper right beside you or a notebook or a journal. And every time a thought comes to your mind, just write it down, list it out. And don't think twice about it. You know that it's there, and then when you need to organize it afterwards, it's there on the paper, what I would call a brain dump. So anytime something comes into your mind, don't let it stick in your brain colon. Just dump it out on the piece of paper so it's there. Right? Inshallah. Number three, so that was number two, getting things off your mind immediately. Number three is write things down in places where you'll come across it once again. Write things down in places where you'll come across it once again. What that means is that sometimes you might have a very important, let's suppose a letter that you have to send or something like that. If you put it, if you hide it away in a bag somewhere, later on you're going to have to manually remember to pull it back out. So that's not the best place to put it. I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about here is, let's suppose you have a book that you have to take with you to school or to work or something like that. And in the morning, you're worried, will I remember this book or will I not remember to take it? And you know you have to take it with you. So what I would do is take this book, put it in my bag, and put the bag by the door. In fact, even blocking the door so that I can't even open the door until I'm reminded that this is the bag that I need to take with me. So in that way, you can go to sleep at night fully reassured that no matter what, you cannot possibly get to school without that you know for sure you're going to remember to take that book. So you always want to make decisions like that so it's automatic. You don't even have to get your mind involved in it, and you can leave your mind open to think of amazing things, inshallah ta'ala, such as your vision for your life and how to get there and so on. Number four, so that was number three, writing things down in places where you'll come across it once again. Number four, praying Fajr in the masjid every single day. You have to make the intention, make the niyyah, that you're going to pray Fajr and you're going to create a habit of waking up every single day and staying awake after Fajr. There was a sister that asked a question about, you know, this praying after Fajr, what time should a person go to sleep at night in order that, you know, they'll be able to stay awake after Fajr. And my response to that is that, you know what, if you just start with Fajr, your body will naturally shut down and put you to sleep at the appropriate time in the evening. You don't even have to worry about forcing yourself to go to sleep. You'll be so tired at night, you'd have such a long day by staying awake after Fajr, you'll almost like double your day. In fact, and inshallah, I'm going to give you the specifics later, that just staying up after Fajr every single day will add another 10 years of productivity to your life. Just staying up for Fajr, about 8.5 years, just in that time. And that's not even speaking about the barakah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised and made dua for his ummah when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Allah, give barakah, give blessing to my ummah in their mornings. And this is in business, in ibadah, in family relations, whatever it is, if you decide to do it in the morning, you have the blessing of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for you. And it's something you shouldn't forget. So number four is praying Fajr at the masjid. Number five, you need to oxygenate your blood. You need to bring oxygen into your blood. That's what revives you. That's what enlivens you, right? So it's like taking a deep breath, like you just did right now. Take another deep breath. And you'll feel energy as you take that breath, correct? So when you wake up in the morning, let's suppose in the example I've mentioned, praying Fajr in the masjid, so that you can walk in the street and breathe from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's air outside. And, you know, you're moving your body. If you do that, you won't go back to sleep after Fajr. In the case of a sister or a mother, at home, what should they do to oxygenate their blood? I would recommend that you recite the Quran after Fajr. Give yourself like a half an hour recitation. When you start reading the med, the mudud, right? When you say like, Ar-Rahman. For example, when you do a med like that, you need to take a deep breath in order to pronounce that. Like when you say, Wal-a-ba-neen. If you just sat there reciting out loud, you would fill your body with oxygen. And that's one of the amazing barakas. I know you probably never heard that before, but it comes from experience. Reciting Quran will just oxygenate up your blood like it's so amazing, inshallah ta'ala. And of course, getting some exercise at home or wherever you are early in the morning. So number five is oxygenate your blood and you'll be awake and you have full barakah early from the morning, inshallah ta'ala. Number six, it's what I call pre-choosing when your next break will be and writing it down. So for example, let's suppose the time is right now, 22 after the hour. So let's suppose it's 10:22. And you say that I'm going to work for 1 hour and then I'm going to take a break an hour from now. So what you do on your journal, remember there's a little notepad where you're writing things down. You just write down the time, 11:22, 1 hour later, so that you can forget when your break is and you just do your work. As soon as you start, slipping into your email or slipping into this or that, you remind yourself that now is not the time for this. Now is the time for me to do my work. And inshallah ta'ala, oh body, oh mind, I'll give you full relaxation when your break time comes. And when that break time comes, take it and enjoy it. But you'll find the day will go swiftly and quickly like that, and you'll get excited about the things that you're doing. So number six, pre-choose when your next break will be and write it down. Number seven, you need to delete distractions. Delete distractions. Here are some huge distractions. Some huge distractions that I'm going to recommend that you delete. And one of them is television. Already people are moving away from television, and that's just because they're getting bored and they're moving on to something else. But I'm telling you, delete your television so that you don't have a TV in your house. I'm not saying that for myself that, oh, I'm so righteous, I don't watch television and stuff like that. I might watch television, but no, I don't have one in my house. So it might be, when I'm outside or I see something on the screen or something like that. But in your house, you don't want to have a distraction so intense like the television. It is estimated that people spend in an average lifespan a whole decade of their life watching television. Do you want to come at the end of your life and say, man, I wish I had watched more TV, right? You don't want anything like that to happen, so delete distractions. The internet is another distraction. I'm not saying you probably need it for work and so on. Why don't you minimize your internet? So, for example, only have internet at work and don't have internet at home. Or only have internet on a mobile stick but don't, soup up your whole house with, like, internet. Choose the places and make it difficult for you to get full access. Make it difficult for the internet, for example. And then choose times as well where you do not touch the internet. So for myself, if I'm at home, I almost have like an oath that I don't check internet at home, completely nothing. Phone goes off, internet goes off, there's no internet at home, and just focus on being with the family and taking care of that slice of life. So deleting distractions, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other distractions that you can add to that. Number eight is never multitask and just focus, okay? I'm all about focusing. If you're with family members, don't check email on your phone while you're talking to your spouse or talking to your mother or father. Pay attention to who you're speaking to. That's the adab of a Muslim, is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody said salam, he would face them and smile in their face. If they spoke, nobody would cut off the person who was speaking until they had completed what they had to say. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes when a person would talk after they had completed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Have you said everything that you wish to say?" And then he would say, "Yes, I have." Right? And that's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at, complete focus. And that's what you want to do. You don't want to completely, never. You don't want to do anything like this where you're listening to something, you're chatting with a person, you're trying to do some work, and you're reading a blog and you do all of this at the same time with multiple windows open on your computer and things in your ear, that's only going to delay you and make your work mediocre. Instead, shut everything down. Even put cotton in your ears so no sounds get in and just focus on what you need to do. If somebody comes to me and starts speaking to me while I'm doing some work, either I'll stop the work and pay attention to them, or if I really need to do that work, before they continue, I'll say, hold on, can you just give me like 3 minutes to complete what I'm doing so that I can give you complete attention? And so I'll finish that work, turn away from the computer, even step away from it, and allow the person to say what they have to say. All right? So that's number 8, never multitask, and instead focus. Number 9, start on the right foot. In Islam, we have many examples of how the Prophet taught us to start our food, for example, with Bismillah. When you enter the home or enter the masjid, we enter with the right foot. When you know you're doing many things, even little children, they're taught the dua to say before they start this, before they start that, because humans are animals of habit. So once you start something consciously, your body and mind will habitually implement that unconsciously. So if you start on the wrong foot, your mind will habitually take it, and you'll keep stepping with the wrong foot again and again and again. So give you this example of two people. One person starts their day by checking their email. How do you think they spend their day after that? If they check their email and they're just chatting with their friends, give them 7 hours throughout the day. What have they spent the entire day on? With that exact same foot, they spent the whole day checking this email account and that email account and chatting with this person, chatting with that. They haven't done anything productive because they started on the wrong foot. Now, this is a suggestion that I give you. What if you started your day, right? Imagine this. You started your day taking control of the most important task that you needed to get done for that day. It doesn't have to be a major task, but, you know, you sent off a letter, you sent off an application, you completed this, you gave feedback on, you know, this piece or whatever it is, or you wrote half the essay that you need to write. You started your day with that. Now it's 1 hour into your day, maybe even less, and it's after Fajr, maybe 7 o'clock in the morning, and you've already achieved something major within 1 hour. You can almost say like, wow, that was amazing, mashallah, and then you make dua for Muhammad al-Sharif and all that, right? It's so early in the morning, you achieve so much barakah. Now what are you going to do? You know what? I'm fine. You can chat with your friends now. You can do your distractions because you got the major thing done. But chances are that you will continue on that foot. If you completed, you know, some, you know, task early in the morning, then chances are you're going to get so excited by it and so fulfilled that you're going to do it again and again throughout that very same day, because you'll become a creature of habit. You will start to achieve things because it'll start to give you this iman rush. You'll be like, wow, that was so cool, and you keep doing it. And in fact, that should be the life of a Muslim. That should be Muslims at school and Muslims at work and Muslims as fathers and mothers. That's the way we should be living our lives, leading humanity in this productivity, inshallah ta'ala. So number 9, starting on the right foot. Number 10, I would recommend that you get a mentor or get a life coach or something like that. The reason I recommend this is because when we're younger, we have authorities in our life that basically put up the boundaries for us. So authorities like our parents or our teachers at school or so on, they tell us when to come, when to show up, what to do, how to get in line, how to stay in line, all of that stuff. But what happens when we get to university or beyond that at work and so on, we don't have those type of authority figures in our lives, and we just let life kind of like just cruise. We don't really do major things for the most part. Some people do. Once in a while, people are achieving big things. But for the most part, we just let life cruise. How would you like to get somebody today, for example, that's going to stop and tell you, what do you want to achieve for this week? And you're like, no one's ever asked me that. And then once you say, this is what I want to achieve, then they're like, what's stopping you from doing this? And you think, well, 1, 2, 3, I don't have time, I don't, blah, blah, blah. And then you start dealing with the obstacles, and then you start moving towards action. And that's every week. Imagine your life like that. And, you know, and you'll have time for the breaks, but you'll be moving so quickly, just because you invested in yourself, because you invested in yourself and in moving yourself forward. So number 10 is get a mentor or a life coach, somebody that's going to help hold you accountable. There's some questions about life coaches, and this is what I'd recommend. The person who is going to be holding you accountable, that's going to give you this kind of support and accountability, has to be somebody that takes this relationship with you seriously. That's number one. Number two, they need to be somebody that you quote-unquote fear, so that when you don't do what you said that you were going to do, you feel embarrassed to tell this person that, you know what, when you come back together and you say, you know what, I didn't get this done, you feel embarrassed. You don't want to arrive at the meeting. And usually this doesn't happen between friends. When you're friends with somebody and you're like, oh, I didn't memorize the Quran that I said I memorized, like, nobody holds you accountable. You want somebody that's going to hold you accountable, somebody that can speak to you and give you the right wordings and move you forward, inshallah ta'ala, and someone who has the knowledge of how to ask you the right questions and how to move you forward, bi-idhnillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in Surah Al-Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَالْعَصْرِ, He testifies by the time that He created, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, that verily the human being is at loss. The human being is at loss. Now, I want to give you an analogy of this, what this means, that a human being, by virtue of time, you are losing. You're losing right now. Inshallah ta'ala, you're benefiting right now. But it's this analogy is of a person, for example, that's holding a block of ice in their hand, and they need to do something with it. I don't know, put it in their drink or sell it or whatever they do, but the ice is in their hand. Now, if the person chooses not to do anything, then by virtue of the nature of ice, the person will lose it. Time will pass, the person will die, the ice will melt, and their life will be over. Yet they have this block of ice, and in this time, they can either do good, righteous deeds, or they can do disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do bad deeds, or they might just waste their time. Now, with regards to wasting your time, you might ask the question, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to hold us accountable if we just choose, not necessarily to do good deeds, but what if we just choose to just waste our time? You know, like, what if I spent my life just sending Twitter messages to my friends? And just like, you know, and just surfing the internet and watching a little bit of TV here and there, and went to a coffee shop now and then. And I just spent my life like that. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to hold me accountable for this? Am I going to be responsible for this? Well, to answer that question, we look in a hadith. It's narrated by Tirmidhi. It's authentic hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَن تَزُولَ قَدَمَا عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ أَلَىٰ عَنْ أَرْبَعَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the slave, the 2 feet of the servant, of the slave, will not cease from standing before Allah on the day of judgment until he is asked about 4 things. In other words, there are going to be 4 questions that every slave of Allah is going to be asked about. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَنْ عُمُرِهِ فِيمَا أَكْنَاهِ وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَاهِ وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِهِ وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said that the person, every slave, is not, the 2 feet are not going to move from the judgment in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until they're asked about 4 things. Number one is they will be asked about their life and how did they spend their life. Number two, that they will be asked about their youth specifically and how they exhausted their youth. Number three, they'll be asked about their knowledge and what did they do with their knowledge. And number four, they'll be asked about their wealth, where they earned it and how was it spent. So dear brothers and sisters, we see that the person is going to be asked about their life. What did you do with your life? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask. What did you do with your life? What is the answer to that? Let's imagine that a person just spent their lives in distraction, in lahu. Lahu is distraction. And then they arrived in the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what did you do with this gift of time, this gift of life? Wal-'asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. And even with the youth, because a lot of people think that, well, I'm still young. And this type of talk is for old people, right? People who are in their 60s or something like that. Dear brothers and sisters, whether you're a youngster in secondary school or high school or anything like that, or even younger than that, it's almost like, you know, there's two slices to life. There's the under 30 and the above 30. And you're only one step away from being above 30. And life, like a blink of an eye, you're from 1 year to the other, and already death is knocking at your door. And it's coming closer with every heartbeat. And so this is something that concerns us, all of us, and yet sometimes when we're younger, we don't understand it as much as people have come to the end of the average lifespan. Yet death doesn't know lifespans and so on. Death will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees it. So next time you see a clock ticking away, almost like you put a question above that clock and say to yourself, or the statement is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me about the ticking of this clock in my life. How did I spend it? How did I spend this minute today? How did I spend these TikToks? All right, so what are we trying to do here? Number one is we're trying to become serious about this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with. It has to be the most precious thing to you because this is your life. Number two is if you are serious, you are committed, you want to master your time, what are the first initial steps, kind of like the launching pads, in order to take advantage of this? And inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to give it to you tonight, bi'idhnillah. And number three, a person might ask the question, it says, where can I go if I seriously want to make a shift in my life? Where can I go if I seriously want to make a shift in my life? And inshallah ta'ala will answer that as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the human being will have nothing except that which they strive for, that which they work for. In other words, an amazing, outstanding, blessed life is not going to happen to you by accident. It's not going to happen by accident. You have to intend it. You have to work for it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you will get nothing except that which you've worked for. That's what you've put in the effort and strive for. If you've ever told a non-Muslim that there's one God, chances are you used the following argument. You said to them that look at all the perfection on this earth. Do you see it? And the non-Muslim says, yes, I see it. And then you said, such perfection can only come from intelligence. And you said to them, because perfection doesn't happen by accident. It happens by intention. Okay, that's great, all right? Cut that scene, and let's come back to your life, Mr. and Mrs. Dawah person. You just said that perfection doesn't happen by accident. There must be an intelligence behind it. Now, I'm telling you, in your life, why are you dealing with your time as if it's some accident? Your life is not going to have excellence. It's not going to be perfect until you put an intelligence into your time, an intelligence into managing your time, an intelligence into how do you deal with the incoming emails, the incoming phone calls, the friends and family. How do you deal with the different slices of your life? You need a system. You need an intelligence behind it. You can't keep doing the same old, and just expecting life is going to accidentally happen to you and all of this beautifulness is just going to happen. In fact, you probably will be able to deal with the haphazardness of life so long as you play slow, as long as you play small, then you're able to deal with it. But as soon as things start piling up, if you don't have an intelligent system in the way that you manage time, in the way that you deal with these things, then it's going to overwhelm you very quickly and stress you out and crush you. The good news, I know that sounds kind of like mean and sad, right? But the good news, there is good news, is that time management and managing your time is a lot simpler than most of the things that they teach you in university or teach you in school. It's a lot simpler. Like, you could learn programming languages that are, like, super difficult, calculus and med school and engineering. That's way more difficult than it's as simple as, you know, a few techniques. It's just that we're not taught these things. Or if we're taught it, it's usually not by somebody who's actually mastered or has a lot of things on their plate, and so they don't have the right technique. Inshallah ta'ala, in fact, in the Time Traveler series, one of my fears for people that take the Time Traveler series is that you will have, now wait for this, you will have too much time. Too much time. Not enough, it's the exact opposite, that you'll have so much time after you implement some of these techniques that you think, what am I going to do with my life? And just to give you an example of how that works, if you woke up after Fajr, as I'm telling you, stay up after Fajr, start your work day then, have a nice breakfast, do a little exercise, start with the on the right foot and get your work done. Any distractions, just write it down, put it on the side. You'll get your day's work done before 9 a.m., I guarantee it. Your whole day. That, you know, the other day without implementing these techniques would have taken you 9 to 5, even late at night. Just, it's so full of fluff and waste of time. You can get it all done before 9 a.m. in the morning. And then at 9 a.m., what do you do with your life? Yeah. At that point, this it's an opportunity. You can start envisioning what amazing leadership you want to do for yourself and your community. Maybe you have a Dawah project you want to work on. Maybe you want to raise your children, spend more time educating them, all of that stuff. So it's such good news that you have so much time. You just need one or two of these techniques and just implement it, not just read about it or hear about it or learn about it, but actually implement it, and it'll be yours, inshallah ta'ala. I was looking up what people spend their lives on, and I got some interesting statistics. Number one is that most of our life, 27 years of an average lifespan, is spent sleeping. That's right. 30 years approximately, you'll be 3 decades. You'll be asleep. In this whole life, you think, oh, I'm going to live till the age of, you know, 70 or 80 or something like that. 30 years of that, you'll be sleeping. So you're not even going to be awake during that time. Number, the second thing is, a decade of your life, 10.5 years normally, is spent working, going to work, 9-to-5 jobs. Now, this is an important point here. If a decade of your life, 10 years of your life, is going to be spent at work, then you cannot afford to do something with your life and your job that you don't like to do. You've got to do something that you love to do. Make it your life mission, which is a critical point that I make in the Time Traveler series videos, is that I'll say that, look, if you want to help children, for example, or help orphans, then why are you working in an accounting firm? Now, you might say, well, I need to pay the bills and so that I can, you know, do my passion, but you procrastinate that. I'm like, find a way to discover what you love and get somebody to pay for it. That's what you need to do. You need to make your work your life mission. You might ask me, well, how do you do that, Muhammad? Now, that might be for another topic, but I'm telling you, you need to make the intention and make dua for it. And once you make the intention and allow your mind to start searching, then ideas will come up. After that, people spend 10 years watching TV. They spend 6 years on the internet. And that was when this survey took place. But the reality might be even more than 6 years. And with Muslims, I don't know if Muslims spend more time on the internet than non-Muslims. I don't know. But that's like together, TV and internet, 16 years of your life. 4 years standing in line, just waiting in line for things. 4 years eating. 3 years driving. 3 years going to the bathroom for men. Because men spend more time in the bathroom than women. And then you got things like household chores, cooking, talking on the phone, daydreaming. Here is, I'm going to give you this tip to give you 30 years of your life back. How important is that to you? 30 years of your life back. You know what we're dealing with here? It's like if you live to the age of 90, that's 1/3 of your life. If you live to the age of 60, that's half of your life I'm giving to you with this tip. That's how important this point is. I'm giving you 30 years of your life. Number one tip. Make your job your life mission, and that'll give you 10 years right there. Take it very seriously. Make the intention to do it. Secondly, another 10 years back to your life, do not have a TV in your house. And that'll give you 10 years of your life right there. So together, you've got 20 years. And here's another 10 years. Stay awake after Fajr and start your day after Fajr. And that comes out to 8.3 years, basically, another decade right there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wal 'asr, innal insana lafi khusr." All right, I'm going to take some questions, inshallah ta'ala, right now, answering some of your questions, and then I'm going to go through the 5 time traveler tips, bi'inillah. Let's go to the questions. Sister from Markham, she's asking the question, what if I'm involved in many things that I cannot leave? For example, work, learning Quran, teaching, what to do. The point that you mentioned, sister, you said things that I cannot leave. The problem is that there's two sides to it. On one side, you can focus. So you said work, learning Quran, and teaching. How about you not teach until you finish learning Quran? Focus on learning Quran, and then after you completed the Quran, then teach it to others. Or the opposite, why don't you teach Quran, and after you've done your service of teaching Quran for 1 year, then you dedicate your time to increasing your knowledge. So focus on that. When you say work, why don't you make your work, something related to teaching? So then it doesn't have to be something separate, but you aim a life. So when you focus and you harness that, it almost becomes like a laser, and then there's focus in your life. If not, I would tell you let go of something. Let go of it. Now, it's not always in life that things are either this or that. I don't ascribe to that type of thinking. Rich people who are rich in their minds, they will say to themselves, how can I have both? Right? If it's something that you care about, they don't contradict each other, then I would say, how can I have this and that? Wallahu ta'ala. Okay, sister from Calgary saying, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. When we take our scheduled breaks, what is a beneficial way to do something fun and relaxing, but also gain hasanat even during our break? Okay? So the interesting thing, sister, jazakallah khair for your question. Just 1 second, let me just get some water. If it seems to be unbeneficial, but your intention is so that you will have the energy to do what Allah loves after the break, then your break becomes something. As long as it's permissible, it becomes ibadah because you've made the intention for it to give you strength. But then there are other things that might be fun. I'll give you an example. Like you go on a forum and there's like non-Muslims there and you're giving da'wah to people, making relationships with non-Muslims, calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That might be fun, and that's not just chatting, but that's chatting with a purpose, right? You're teaching people about Islam and helping them. I mean, those are some examples. You just ask yourself the question and even ask your friends, how can I what's something fun that I can do in 10 minutes that also gets me reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sister from Raleigh, North Carolina says, whenever I try staying awake after Fajr, I will try doing that for a couple of days, but after that, I'm back to the same routine. How do I break that habit? Okay, like I said, human beings are creatures of habit. So you're falling back on a habit that's well rehearsed, and that is not staying up after Fajr. And you're trying to adopt a new habit, and that is staying up after Fajr. You're going to have to break in the new habit. And by dedicating yourself every day at night, you're like, I'm going to stay awake after Fajr. Here's the thing, and you might have read this. I wrote it on the blog. I said, sometimes we have such boring lives, such wasteful lives, that sleeping is more exciting for us than actually being awake, right? So first thing I'd recommend is you get a vision for your life. get a vision for your life, something that you want to wake up after Fajr. It excites you so much that you want to wake up for Fajr. In other words, late at night when your friends are telling you, hey, let's do this, let's do that, you're so excited about the morning that you're like, no way, man. I'm going to sleep right now because I got this project, I got this thing that I'm doing in the morning, and I can't wait for it. And I'm going to be awake after Fajr when you guys are sleeping. Right? So you need to have an exciting life, to have a vision for your life, and you want to start on the right foot every single day. And like I said, if you start waking up for Fajr, then that will affect your evenings where you start sleeping earlier naturally, inshallah ta'ala. And if you start falling back into the wrong routine, so, you know, you stay awake late at night one night and then it messes up the next day and you start falling into the wrong habit, that's great where a mentor kicks in right there. So with a mentor, a life coach in my case, I stay up after Fajr and I was falling away from that habit. And then I spoke to my life coach and he was like, well, let's set a date tomorrow that you're going to stay awake after Fajr. You're going to get these assignments done. And so I made a commitment to my life coach and the next day I was back awake after Fajr. It just takes a person like that in your life. You make a commitment with them. You know, you're working in companionship, and inshallah ta'ala, you'll be able to take care of it. By the way, we also have Discover Your Life coaches, female coaches, that you'll be able to work with, inshallah ta'ala. All right. We are going to finish off the points for tonight, inshallah ta'ala. All right. The top five time traveler tips. The top five time traveler tips. I try to think of, you know, the time traveler series, give you a little glimpse of what's waiting for you, inshallah ta'ala. And I came up with these top five tips that I think are so fundamental that you cannot master your time if you don't understand any of these 5 points. You've got to know it, right? So number one is that you need to clean your brain before you can do anything. You've heard me say brain dump. You know, I've used that term a lot. You basically have to get things off your mind. This is my experience when I'm, you know, sitting with some of my students and I'm telling them something like, let's create a vision for your life. The person gets all happy and excited, but then you can see something shift in their mind as they realize all the stress and all the tasks and the job that they have to go back to the next day and all that. It comes almost like an abusive relative that whips them back into their place. Basically a relative that says to them, you can do it. You got so many things on your plate already. You think you can add more stuff to that? And the person becomes sad and depressed and they give up on their dreams. What I'm telling you is that you've got to first take care of what you've already got. You've got to delete things. You got to start focusing and so on and put it down on paper. Organize your life where it's in front of you, and then your mind becomes clear, and then you have space. When you realize that your day finishes at 9 a.m. in the morning because there's so much barakah in your day, you will know at that time it's time to implement your vision, inshallah ta'ala. But you've got to clean your mind before you can add other stuff. Number two is you must focus on what's most important and delete the fluff. You must focus. The whole concept, I say everything in my da'wah, everything that I do, this is the statement that I have. It is focus, focus, focus. If you look at Al-Maghrib Institute, if you're familiar with Al-Maghrib Institute, from day one I learned this lesson and we never sought to do anything except the classes that we do. And alhamdulillah, we're able to enter like 4 countries around the world, all these different cities, tens of thousands of students being taught because I learned this lesson of focus very early in my career and I stopped trying to do everything, humble ourselves and realize, you know what, let's just take one thing and focus on it, inshallah ta'ala. So in your life, you need to learn the power of focus and you need to let go of stuff. You might, you know, if I hear somebody's a doctor, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'd like to be a doctor too. And immediately the front of my mind says, dude, you're focused on what you're doing. You don't need to be a doctor. Let the doctors be doctors and you focus. And I'm like, that sounds good. And I go back to the focus. So you need to learn how to focus, delete the fluff so that you can move forward in your life like a laser, inshallah ta'ala, and achieve a legacy before the sand runs out. Number three, that big dreams require delegation. Big dreams require delegation. Allah, and working in a team. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't place us on this earth so that we would be a one-man show, right? If that was the case, you'd have all these people living in their castles somewhere, and they're all like masters of the universe. That's not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us. Allah made us all with strengths and weaknesses. Made us all like, if I'm strong in one thing, you might be weak in it. And if you're strong in something else, I'm weak in it. And together, if we work as a team, then almost like bricks in the building of a beautiful castle or whatever we're building, we can work together. So the bigger your vision is, the more you're going to need other human beings, and you're going to need to learn how to delegate and work with others. Stop trying to be a lone ranger and doing everything by yourself, and start to get into the habit of working with your brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala. Number four, you can't get anywhere in your life if you first don't know where you're going. I learned this long time ago when I was a kid in secondary school, in high school, and there was a statement, one of these cool quotes, that said, if you aim for nothing, you hit it with remarkable success. And this has been proven to me so many times that if you don't know what you're actually trying to achieve, and that's the case for most people, they don't know what they're trying to achieve, you're not going to get anything, or you're going to arrive at nothing. There is someone was asking, is the Time Traveler series, the videos, is it applicable to, you know, youth that are in high school? And I'm saying that, you know what, if you don't have a vision for your life, it might take you 15 years by the time you're 35 and been through so much pain before you figure out, hey, I should have stopped and made a vision for my life before I just let the river of life pass me through. I'm telling you, the earlier you, like today, that you figure out where you want to go in your life, the more, inshallah ta'ala, you'll hit it with laser light. You have to know where you're going in order to arrive at that. That's part of the equation. Number five, excellence or ihsan is never the result of accident. You must plan it. You must plan your excellence. As we said earlier, that, you know, all the perfection that we see on earth and in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because of intelligence. And so in your life, you've got to put intelligence into what you're doing so that inshallah ta'ala you can achieve some amazing things. So now you ask me, well, Brother Muhammad, what are the first two steps that you can recommend? You know, you want a launching pad? I would say that these first two steps, you apply it in every aspect of your life that needs help. Number one, you need to make a beautiful and amazing intention, a niyyah, nawaitu. I've made the intention, O Allah, to master my time, to be a time travel master, or whatever it is you want to make your intention. But you've got to start with that. There's no such thing as a leader who hasn't mastered their time. So you make the niyyah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these amazing things that you want to do, memorize Quran or get married or teach your kids the homeschooling or build this da'wah project or build this entrepreneur program, whatever it is that you want to do, you're going to have to master your time before you do any of that. So make your intention. That's number one. And after you make your intention, you might be wondering, well, where do I go now? And that's where you raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, O Allah, guide me to the best of guidance in this area of my life. O Allah, bless me and guide me. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. And I remember now, subhanAllah, and even I haven't remembered this for maybe, I would say, it's probably been 15 years. I haven't remembered this. When I first went for Hajj, and I'm only saying this as a, you know, kind of like an encouragement for all of you. When I first went for Hajj and I first went for Umrah and I was making my du'as early when I was like 17 years old, I remember right now that one of the du'as that I frequently used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for was, Oh Allah, bless me in my time. Oh Allah, bless me in my time. And subhanAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed me in a position where now I can be teaching other people about how to do it. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, tabarakallah. All right. I'm going to take some, you know, on the opposite side, there's a lot of questions about procrastination. Why do we procrastinate? Why do we delay things? Why are we not motivated? You know, we say we want to do something, but yet we don't implement it. So I'm going to give you some reasons why that happened and what you need to do to deal with it. If you procrastinate or you say you want to start something, but then you stop doing it, right? So let's suppose you want to memorize Quran and then you give up on it. Or maybe you want to start some sort of project in your city and you get some ideas and you start talking about it and then, you know, you let it go and so on and so forth. Here are some reasons why people procrastinate. Number one is that your goals are not exciting enough. Your goals are not exciting. Or as we say, your goals are impotent. They just basically, they don't excite you. You wake up in the morning and you're just not, you're not even thinking about doing these goals. So if you have goals like that, then you're not going anywhere in life with goals like that. So if somebody comes to me and says, Muhammad, you know what? I've been procrastinating XYZ. The first thing I would do is I'd tell them, well, you're probably not even interested in doing it. So why don't you just give up now? That's the way I would start. And I'm actually testing the person to see how they react. They will either react like, no, I am interested in it, and I can hear by their voice that they're not interested in. Or they'll say something like, you think so? You think I should give it up? Man, I've been waiting for somebody to tell me that because I don't even want to do this, right? So they're going to say something like that, and you want to move them forward to what they are interested in. What are they interested in so that that can give them the excitement that they want? So the first thing you want to look for is are the goals exciting enough to make the person want to do it? Secondly, is a person might not even know exactly what they want, right? So a person might say, oh, you know what? I want to be knowledgeable. Or in the example of Arabic, I know some of you might be interested in learning Arabic. A person comes along to me and says, I want to learn Arabic. I would say, why do you want to learn Arabic? What specifically do you want to do with Arabic? And when they get down to the specifics, they might just want to read Quran. And you can get to your goal much faster when you know what it is exactly that you're trying to achieve. Actually, I have a beautiful example of that. One person was starting a da'wah project, and it wasn't going that good and so on, and they wanted to do this da'wah project so that they would make money, and then from that money they would be able to support, you know, needy people. So I said, well, now that you know that you want to support needy people, why are you going through the whole headache of making this whole project just to get some money to support them? Why don't you just get the money right now instead of going through that whole process? So knowing what you really want to achieve, you can get there faster, inshallah ta'ala. Number three, why people procrastinate is that they don't actually know what the real problem is. So somebody might, for example, be going through a divorce, and they're like, you know what, I need to memorize more Quran. And they're procrastinating memorization of the Quran. What they really need is they need some counseling because they're going through a divorce and maybe there's some pain there. That's what they're really dealing with. They shouldn't be asking me, when I try to memorize Quran, why is it that I can't memorize Quran? It's like, because you're going through a divorce, dude. You need to deal with that. Okay, so you want to do, another beautiful example of this is dieting. When a person is going on a diet or trying to be healthy and so on and so forth, and, you know, things aren't working out, what are they actually dealing with? What they might be dealing with is emotional issues. The food that they're trying to stop eating is giving them love. That's right. They're in love with Ben and Jerry's. They're like nothing that a tube of chocolate death Ben and Jerry's can't fix. You know, if a person gets in a breakup, they say it's nothing that some ice cream can't fix. So in other words, this ice cream, they know that it's an emotional attachment. And if the person doesn't have the ice cream, then they haven't given themselves love. And if they don't give themselves love from the ice cream, therefore they have no love. Boo-hoo, wah-wah. Right? So they need to realize that this is the issue that they're dealing with. And if they know what the issue is, then they can deal with it. They don't have to procrastinate. Well, that's why things aren't working out for them, is because they're not dealing with what the real issue is. Number four is that let's suppose we actually know what we want to achieve, and let's suppose we actually know what we're dealing with, but many times we don't have the right techniques on how to achieve it. A beautiful example of this is if you're trying to start a business or make money, most people get advice from their uncle who's broke and is dealing in riba, who tells them to get a mortgage on interest. because it'll make you rich, he said. Right? So you don't take advice from people who haven't achieved what you're looking to achieve and they're not balanced in their life. You want to take advice from somebody who has achieved, who has the technique. If you get the wrong techniques, then you're not going to achieve what you need to achieve. So in the example of the Quran memorization, a person might come along, want to memorize Quran, but they have the wrong system on how to memorize Quran, or they're trying to memorize Quran with their friend after Fajr, and that's never going to work, right? But they're like, why am I always procrastinating? Because you just have the wrong system. It might not be that, you know, you might have full motivation, and you know what you're dealing with, but this is just the wrong system on how to memorize. You need a different system. Another question that comes up is, don't we need time to relax? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created the human being needs times or has times of energy that, you know, when they're bursting with energy and needs time to recharge, which is sleep. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the day and night, the day so that we would earn our livelihood, the night where we'd go to sleep and so on and so forth. So your body needs to recharge. Even your mind needs to recharge. When I was in Medina University, there would be like a student coming from the U.S. and they'd say to me, Muhammad, you know what? I'm bringing stuff from home. What do you recommend that I bring? And I would say to them, you know what? Bring a whole stack, when you're coming to Medina University, of Reader's Digest. And they're like, no, are you serious, Muhammad? I'm like, yeah, I'm serious. I'm totally serious. Why am I telling people to bring Reader's Digest? I said, because you're going to be studying so much that during your break time, that was back in the day, there was no internet. And your mind, you just can't sit idly because your mind will be thinking about what you were studying before. You need to distract your mind. And so I used to read Reader's Digest during my break. I'd give myself 10 minutes, 15 minutes. This is my break time. And I would open up to the page and read about, you know, drama in real life or something like that, or things that people say at work that are funny. And my mind gets distracted, enters a different world, and then my mind refreshes like that. The best types of distractions that I'd actually recommend are distractions where your mind has completely forgotten what you're dealing with in your life, completely forgotten, like nothing of the sort. That's why, you know, actually, interestingly, I don't like distractions related to the internet, because the internet is still kind of like engaging your mind. You're still reading. You know what? It doesn't really work that great. So I like distractions. I like picking up a book, pushing away from a computer, walking outside, maybe even playing a little exercise. If you have a ball, you start throwing around, basically where your mind just shuts off. And those are the best types of distractions. And then you can go back to your work, like interval training. So you work with high intensity, and then you relax and have fun at high intensity and go back and forth like that. You'll achieve some amazing things, bi-idhnillah. All right, so it's time to wrap this up, bi-idhnillah. Jazakumullah khairan for listening. I'm just going to wrap it up with the time traveler series. I've done all of these things. I've, you know, put up the blog and put up the things, hopefully to whet your appetite so that you can take this to the next level, inshallah ta'ala. In the time traveler series, you're going to do such tasks as the brain dump. I have a full program on how to take out everything out of your mind. Take it all out. I call it brain breathe, so that there's nothing left in your mind except what you want to put there. After you do that, then I'm going to give you a system on what to do with everything that you've dumped out. After it's out there on paper and you can relax in your mind, you still have to deal with that stuff, but I give you an excellent 1-2-3 system on how to decide what needs to be deleted, what needs to be scheduled, what needs to be delegated, and what needs to be dealt with right away, and you'll be like delete like half of your life right there, and then you open your mind up. You open up the canvas of your mind where you realize you have so much time, and then boom, I hit you with the painting a vision, where now that you have so much time in your life, you need a vision to fill it up with. You need to paint a picture of where you want your future to go. So all your dreams, originally I actually called this seminar series, Live Your Dreams. I didn't even call it time management, but people didn't understand, so I went back to the time management terminology. But it's actually about living your dreams. This is where you start painting your dreams, making the intention, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and actually knowing where you want to move forward to in your life. There's some visualization exercises where I'll make you stand up and envision it. Inshallah ta'ala, you benefit greatly from that. And then you're going to define your time. What is it? You know, when you're checking your internet or you're talking with a person or you're dealing with family members, so on, how do you define that time? Is that important? Is that urgent? And so you'll be able to start categorizing what sort of things that you do. Because just because you're doing work, and it's like a rocking horse, just because the rocking horse is moving doesn't mean you're getting anywhere. So you're going to learn how to define it so that every day you're doing things that are bringing you fulfillment, inshallah ta'ala. And bi-idhnillah, when you do this program, you're going to aim higher. I said this in the beginning, and I'm going to say it again, that mastering your time is not the end. It is just the beginning. Because it's multiple steps on developing your personality. I'm not in the mood to just, you know, give some tidbits and this and that, and everybody's still dealing with the same stuff that they're dealing with day in, day out. We need to make some changes. And it starts first with mastering your time, and it leads into other, once you start mastering your time, you're going to have other problems. You might need a vision, and we've taken care of that. You need a way to deal with things as they come, because your life is always, you need a way to plan your upcoming weeks, so on and so forth. That's in this program, but then after that, you're going to start dealing with other problems, such as emotions, such as financial problems, such as how do you build a business, and inshallah ta'ala will take care of that in upcoming programs, but you need to take this first step, bi-idhnillah. All right? And so in conclusion, inshallah ta'ala, I'll remind you of the first two steps that I recommended earlier, and I'll recommend it again, and with it I conclude. Number one, in order to get anywhere, you need to make a niyyah, make an intention. So you make your intention, whatever intention you want to make, I recommend that you make a good intention, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that when a person makes an intention, they get the reward of that intention. If they act upon it, they get 10 times the reward. In this case, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to grab our responsibility as believers, men and women, grab it by the horns and ride it, and take full responsibility for our lives, this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. That's step number one, making the intention. You make the intention that you want to do. And then number two is make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that easy for you. Make dua to Allah azza wa jal that He makes whatever intention that you've made, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah, gives you good mentors, good guidance in your life, so that you can move forward towards your goals, bi-idhnillah. And with that, we are done. My name is Muhammad al-Sharif. I recommend, inshallah ta'ala, that you check out Time Traveler, bi-idhnillah, and hopefully it will be something of great benefit and a new chapter in your life. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.